Live and local. Mornings with Todd Sargent. For our sponsor, Harvey Norman Computers, Rutherford and Bennett's Green.
Normally at this time on a Tuesday morning, we have him live in the studio, but he's away on secret political professor business at the moment. So we've managed to link up with him via phone. Associate Professor in Politics for the University of Newcastle, Jim Jost. Jim, good morning.
Morning, Todd.
Look, I've decided that the Australian federal election campaign, we know it's going to be on for the next 200 years, so we're going to take a little bit of a break from that. We're looking at politics from the USA. We've been talking about that over the last few months or so. And the big news is that Donald Trump is now the presumptive candidate for the Republican Party for the presidential election of the US of A. It's a mouthful. So what does presumptive candidate mean?
Well, it basically means that he's going to be the candidate for the Republican Party come November, the first Tuesday in November, when the Americans go to the polls to elect their president and members of House of Representatives and members of the Senate. So it's he's the front runner for the Republicans, and he'll be going up against whomever the Democrats select. It's an interesting situation now, because given, you made the comparison to Australian politics, it's almost going from the sublime to the ridiculous, because Donald Trump is a real wild card, and he's made some very, very outlandish statements and made some quite, what appear to be quite bigoted remarks, and it's sort of somewhat worrying that a person with those sorts of attitudes may well become the president of the US. We have to also put in context, though, Todd, I think it's important to remember that he's actually tapped into a huge groundswell, if you like, of resentment, and it tells us something about the nature of the Republican Party in the US, that it's been dominated by particular, almost elite interests, you might say, that have pretty well not paid much attention to, you know, the sort of the middle class of America. They've largely feeling ignored, and Trump has tapped into that in a big way, and he's really offered, I guess, you know, with all of his commentary, his outsider status and his attack on the elites and all that they stand for. And the Republican Party really has no one to blame but itself for the way in which it's carried on over the past well over a decade. And we can see a similar sort of thing happening with the Democrats too, Todd. The resurgence, if you like, of someone like Bernie Sanders, who's to the left of the Democrat Party, giving Hillary Clinton a real run for her money for the nomination. And there's no guarantee yet that she will survive some of the issues and scandals, that she can beat him. But the point that I would sort of stress here is that both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump are tapping into the disappointments, if you like, of the American middle class, who feel that they've been sold out by the leaders, and in particular in the Republican Party, which seems to be you know, very unable to understand why it's not getting the traction with its more mainstream candidates.
I suppose it's okay to turn around and say, you know, he's a radical, he's an ultra right winger, all those kind of things. But the reality is, at the end of the day, once the counting's done, the people have spoken.
Well, yes and no. Ultimately, it's actually not the people who decide. The American political system is a little strange for the presidential election, in that the majority of the popular vote doesn't necessarily decide who the president is, and it's basically decided by the Electoral College. And Donald Trump has to win a majority of the Electoral College votes, which means that in each state he has to basically win each state, and it's a winner-takes-all system in which he wins, say, California, he gets all the Electoral College votes of California, and the same as it goes through the rest of the country. Each state has its own level of Electoral College votes based on, I think it's based on the House of Representatives, but I'd have to sort of check that one up. But basically, if Trump does not carry, if Trump carries the states and gets a majority of the Electoral College votes, he can be elected president without necessarily having a majority of the popular vote. So in a sense, it's not so much that the people have spoken, it's just how they've spoken in particular states that will determine who becomes the actual president. So the issue at the moment is he's got a big groundswell of opinion of support, and it looks like he may well carry the day, at least as far as popular opinion is concerned. On the other hand, he's got to carry certain states that the Democrats have a very strong hold on, and it's not necessarily the case that he's going to be able to do that. So it's going to be very interesting in watching how the votes unfold in which states, because if he can carry the states, he becomes president. If he can't win the Electoral College votes, doesn't matter. But we've had presidents elected who won the popular vote but not carried the Electoral College and therefore didn't become president. So, you know, the people may speak, but they may not necessarily get the person they spoke for.
Interesting situation. Always bizarre in America. Associate Professor Jim Joes, look forward to talking to you next Tuesday.
2NURFM 103.7.